Okay, that's worth clapping for. Come on, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I know, I got you all nervous. I clap shamed you. I'm sorry. We are excited today. Phil Gunger is here with us all the way from Wisconsin. And let me tell you why I respect this guy, even though I've never met him before. Earlier today, as we were getting ready for things, it's easy to travel and speak about relationships because as long as you leave your family at home, no one knows what you're really like. And I found out that his wife is actually coming to be with us. And I thought any guy who both speaks on relationships and brings his wife with him has got to be the real deal. So we are glad to have him with us today. And he will be with us Tuesday night for date night 757. So I would encourage you Tuesday night, you can come. You can just buy tickets right online at gracebible.church/events. Super easy. See you Tuesday night. My wife and I'll be here Tuesday night. It's going to be a great time. But why don't you give a warm Grace welcome to Phil Gunger?
Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you guys for having me here. Phil Gunger from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Pack Go! It's okay. Not everyone can be from Green Bay. It's all right. Just kidding. Like, when I heard I was going to got an event down by the beach, I was like, yes, I think that's the Lord calling me there. I feel very called here. Although you bring me like in February, March, it'd be a lot better. You got it. It's all hot right now. This is like one of the 2 months out of the year that Wisconsin's actually enjoyable to be in. The rest of it's like, I'm glad I travel. Let's just say that. But yes, my wife is, she is on her way here. Actually, she probably lands in the next 30 minutes or so she'll be here. A little bit about me. I pastor a church with my father up in Green Bay, Wisconsin as well. And we have this ministry where we put on these events called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Anyone ever been to one of those or seen any of the videos of my old man? No good, then I can just make stuff up. This is great. No, actually, it's important for me to differentiate who I am and who he is. He started the ministry in 2003. I started kind of behind the scenes. I run the company and keep everything moving, and I started speaking about 4 or 5 years ago. And one of my first events I ever did, I was a little nervous, and I got up and I just started talking. I didn't say who I was, I just went. And I got done with the first session, and I'm greeting people after the first session. They're saying, oh, thank you so much for coming out, we're having a great time, and hey, you look really young. It's like, oh, thank you. Don't have as much hair as I used to, but that's okay. Which, by the way, this is what your pastor would look like if he had a beard. So I went up to another couple, shaking their hand. Thanks so much for coming out. We're having a great time. And hey, you look really good. It's like, thank you. It's the weirdest compliments I'm getting, you know? I went up to a third couple. Same thing. So glad you're here. Thanks for coming out. And then the wife says, but you look different than you do on your DVD. This is like my second event ever. I have no DVD. My dad's got this DVD. He's got like, here's a video clip of him on YouTube that's like 100 million people have seen it and stuff. And so it dawns on me. She thinks I'm my dad. I'm like, no, I'm Phil Gunger. She's like, wait, well, who are you? I said, no, I'm Phil Gunger. You think, oh, you're not Mark Gunger? No, that's my dad. So I'm getting ready for the next session. I'm walking up on stage. As I'm walking up, it all of a sudden starts clicking, telling me how young I looked. They're telling me how good I looked because they think I'm a 64-year-old man. I was like, oh, no. Oh, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, could I really? I can't look like him, can I? Anyway, I got up next session, explained who I was, said, how many of you right now are realizing I'm not Mark Gunger, and like 70% of the place raised their hands. So yes, obviously I'm clearly the younger, better-looking version of this, but we travel all around and doing these events. I just came from Nashville, and then my wife and I, we head off from here to Hungary, which will be fun, going over there, except I have to slow down because they've got a translator. I do not speak Hungarian. So they'll figure it out. But anyway, we're doing this event. It's Tuesday. You guys need to come out to this. This is going to be awesome. Something about what we do, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. This is kind of like marriage events for men. We're man-friendly. I know usually you say marriage event, and most of the guys go, oh, Lord. It's the last thing you want to do. Most men rate marriage events right up there with rectal exams. We do. Something we know we should do, but we don't really want to do, right? It's okay, guys. This is not one of these marriage things that beats up on you for not being women. And there's no homework. Don't ask you to write out poetry, anything like that. You just come, laugh, and listen. Amen? All right, but this morning, I have a message I want to share with you guys. It's called The Beatitudes of Marriage. We even have a little book, which you can pick up this book on Tuesday. You have to come out Tuesday to get the book. Now, this book, you'll notice, it's got, like, big pictures, and the chapters are real short. That was one chapter. Because we're man-friendly. In fact, this was inspired from children's books. But this is not a children's book. Do not read this to your children. They'll be traumatized, okay? Don't want to do that. But my dad was inspired from I've got four kids, and he would read them these kids' books, and he's like, dude, we should take this Beatitudes thing, we put this like a kid's book, you know, and we kind of laughed, and they were like, no, actually, that would be perfect for guys. Maybe they'll actually read it. So we do. So it's called The Beatitudes of Marriage. Now, you guys, it's kind of a play on the words. You guys remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus gave his sermon, and he gave his Beatitudes, which is just a fancy word for blessings. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn. And our Beatitudes, though, it's just these are attitudes you need to be. Hence, Beatitudes. Don't worry, the jokes get better from there. I'm just setting the bar real low on that one. But that's what these are attitudes you need to be in your marriage, okay? Now, you might not be married here. That's okay. These are things you can apply into any area of your life. You might be happily married here. You might be happily single here and want to stay that way. You might be single and looking for someone. Please, Lord. And there might be some here who are married and wish that they were single. But that's okay. I can help you with that, all right? Now, let's take a look at the first Beatitude. It is be nice. Everyone say, be nice. Just be nice. I don't know what it is about, like, you get a marriage license and you think that gives you a license to just be as mean as a rattlesnake. It's true. You don't see it all the time because when you all come in here into church, you're on your best behavior. Hey, how you doing? Praise God. So glad to see you. You know, you're worshiping. So great. And then we get you home. And then it's whoosh. The demons come out then, and you're just rah, 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 and you're just yelling at each other. Stop that. Gotta be nice. You know, the reason we do this, though, is there's this thought, this wisdom that our culture holds, and it's this idea, it's you need to be honest with how you feel. Just be honest with how you feel. You need to be honest with your feelings. That is some bad information, people. And don't be honest with how you feel. Are your feelings ever honest with you? No. Be honest with how you feel. And so what happens is we have this generation of people that just all emotionally vomit all over each other. I think this, I think that. And you just get so mean because you think it's your God-given right. Oh, I got to tell him all the things he's doing. I got to tell him everything I think. No. Try this. Try to be nice. All right? And besides, think about this. Success in any area of life is you not listening to your feelings. How many of you went to college, got a degree? Did you ask yourself if you felt like studying all the time? You'd have never graduated. You find people successful in any business. You got business owners here, you know, own a business. You go talk to those people. So did you ask yourself how you felt all the time? They'll laugh at you. No. They did it anyway. They didn't listen to their feelings. Find success in any area of life. You know, even the musicians here. I stole someone's guitar. I won't do it today because then the cameras lose me. So I play some guitar. But musicians, they're odd people. They are. The reason they're odd is because they have to sit and practice to get that good. Do you know what practicing is? Do you know what most of their time is spent doing? You see them up here like on stage for 15 minutes. That's nothing. You know what most of the time spent doing? Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Over and over and over again. So that they can play and they can just look natural and just the music just pours out of them. They don't ask themselves if they feel like practicing. Nobody feels like practicing. That's no fun. It's fun to be up here on the stage. but you got to do all the practice first. This is comes true into marriage. You guys cannot be just sitting always thinking, well, how do I feel? How do I feel? You know, my wife and I, we've been married 19 years. And people, thank you. I feel like we just got started. Don't worry. 19 years, you know, we'll get some of the younger couples, they'll come up and say, wow, so you guys look so happy. You look happily married. Like, so what's the secret? What's the key? What's something you can give us? Some insight? We'll say, don't be honest with how you feel. That's how you do it. Listen, out of the 19 years of marriage, I am sure there are times that my wife's woken up in the morning, looked over at me, and thought, I was sent here from heaven just to bless her. I am also sure there are times she has woken up in the morning, looked at me, and convinced that I was sent from Satan to torture her. All right? You know what I need to hear? All I can need to hear that morning is, good morning. That's it. Just be nice. You have to share every single feeling that you have about it. Which, by the way, this is a good lesson to start teaching your kids when they're young. How many of you guys got kids? What's the number one excuse or reason they give for not wanting to do something? Well, I just don't want to do it. Why didn't you do this? I don't want to do that. Clean your room. I don't want to. Man, my kids tell me they don't want to. I just laugh. Okay. You know, I tell them, I said, what I'll do is I'll write it down here in the journal so we can come back later and remember you didn't want to do this. However, you're still going to do it. What? Why? Because you have to do it. But I don't want to. Want has nothing to do with it. I assume you don't want to clean your room. That's why I'm asking you to do it. Right? So make sure you're not letting your kids just do whatever they want. You're just going to raise little narcissists. It's true. I can say that because I don't know you. But seriously, the thing you got to understand is you got to understand that, yes, there will be times you need to argue. Right? Absolutely. You can't get to any real intimacy in any relationship unless there's some conflict. Absolutely. But you can still be nice about it. You can still be civil. You guys know when you cross that line. There's that line there. And you know they tick you off and you just... Right? You just start poking the bear. You do because you could just get mad. You know? So listen. The Bible tells us not to... A fool sins in his anger. Don't do that. Right? Don't give full vent to your emotions, it says. So you'll feel things, absolutely, but you got to learn how to control those. So there might be times that your husband does something, your wife does something, you just have to walk around the house, be nice, be nice, be nice, you know? Take a couple deep breaths and just continue to be polite, all right? Number two, we have be content. Everyone say, be content. Just be happy. See, if you're the kind of person that feels something in your life has to change before you can be happy, you will be miserable victim your entire life. It's true. You know, you don't want to live in the world of, oh, I'd rather this, or I wish that. I wish I had a nicer house. I wish I had a nicer car. I wish I would have married this crazy guy instead of that crazy person. And I wish my kids weren't demon-possessed. You know, whatever it is, it's like, stop. Stop, relax, stop doing that. You don't want to live like that. You know, there's a secret the Bible talks about. Paul writes about it in Philippians. You know, it's the secret to being happy. You know, there's this verse. I think most Christians have heard this or have quoted it before. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You guys heard that one? Now, it's an awesome verse. Sometimes people quote it in the context of, that means I can conquer anything. Which there's a lot of verses for that, but that's not the context of this verse. Because if you back up and you read what Paul is saying, you know, he said he's learned the secret to being content in every situation. He said whether hungry, well-fed, whether living in plenty or in want, he said, I've learned the secret. And that's when he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, the all things he's talking about are all the awful things in life. It's all the miserable situations. It's all the things that aren't going well. And he says, but I've learned a secret.
But so many of us, man, we base our joy, we base our happiness, we base our peace and contentment off of just situations that are happening in our life. And you do that, you're just always going to feel miserable. You're always going, man, what's wrong? Man, I wish I had this. I wish I had... You find yourself start saying that, you need to go, shh, stop. Because that's not from God. That's not how you're supposed to be living this thing. You know? You got to understand that our joy needs to come from something else. In fact, when things are going awful, James writes, I count it all joy when I get sufferings. In other words, like throw a party. Seriously, something's going awful in your life, you need to call up all your friends. Hey man, come on over, come on over. I'm throwing a party. Oh really, why? Because my life stinks! Ha ha! Really? Yeah, yes? That's what it's supposed to be like. You know? And listen, for all the single people that are here looking to get married, just a little word of advice. If you think that getting married is going to make you happy, all the married people said, amen. Listen, if you're just a lonely, miserable soul, and you marry another lonely, miserable soul, you know what that makes? Two lonely, miserable souls. That's all that it takes. You think you're going to get all your happiness and joy. You know, some of you girls, I've heard y'all because you come and talk to me. And you just can't wait. Oh, I just can't want to find this man. And he's just going to be great. And I'm oh, all this and all that. You think you're going to get all of this joy and this from this guy. Oh, no, no, no. Can you be happily married? Absolutely. But if you think that that's where your happiness is going to come from, oh dear, I'm sorry, it's not. There are going to be days that he drives you crazy. But that's okay, because you can learn the secret. Whether he is driving me crazy or he's wonderful. Whether she is the love of my life at the time or she just keeps yelling at me. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Amen? You got to just enjoy the journey. Quit wanting everything to be perfect all the time. You need to enjoy the road that you're on because the road that you are on might be a dead end. And what if it is? And you turn around and go the other way? That light that you see at the end of the tunnel, we're almost there, we're almost there. You might realize it's actually another train heading at you. Ah! Get out of the way. It's all right. That's just what's going to happen. Life's going to throw things at you. All right, so be happy. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's lousy. Sometimes things go as planned. Sometimes there are unforeseen obstacles in our way. All right, but that's okay. Next, we have be connected. Everyone say, be connected. In other words, y'all need some friends. All right? You married couples I'm talking to specifically. You need to get friends in your life. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Yes, I have my friends and she has her friends. No, because your friends are as crazy as you are and her friends are as crazy as she is. That's why they're your friends. What you need are you need some good couples friends. Some people, find some good married couples and you need to start getting close to them. You need to hang out, you know. You need to get connected in one of the community groups here at the church. Start doing life with these people. They will save you like, it's like free counseling. It is. You get around them, you really start sharing your life with them. They can help point out you're crazy. It's true. Because you'll come in, right? You'll have these marriage arguments. So many of these marriage arguments, they're just so silly. They seem so intense to you. You share them with other people. You know, true story, we've heard people just get mad like, well, I think the thermostat should be set at 70. Well, I think it should be set at 72. Well, I think it should be set at 70. I think it should be 72. And your friends can step in and say, have you thought of 71? That's a good compromise. Okay, yeah, we can do that. They do. They help you through this stuff because, listen, all married couples, we all deal with the same stuff. That's really the truth. I know you think your problem is so unique. I know you think that husband that you have, he's the one broken one and the rest are all perfect. I know you think your wife, well, she does it. I don't know why. Everyone else's wife is just so wonderful. There's something wrong with mine. No. We all deal with the same stuff. Well, how come they seem to be more successful? Because they start learning to do the right things. That's why you want to get together with them and talk to them and share things with them. I mean, you can come in and sit down and counsel. I'm sure your pastor would No problem sitting down with you and counseling you, absolutely. But you can save this poor guy a lot of hours. You just get some friends in your life. Hang out with him, do life together. Because listen, marriage is not meant to be two people living alone on an island. Two people living alone on an island, y'all will turn into cannibals and eat each other. All right? That's what will happen. So you need to be connected. All right, the next one we have is be prepared. Everyone say, be prepared. Because life is tough, marriage is tough, it's hard, it can be really hard, but it's supposed to be. I mean, really, anything in life worth having is hard. You ever notice this? You really want to achieve something, there's some work that comes with it. It's just a part of it. It's okay. Because look, the things your spouse does that drive you crazy might very well drive you crazy until the day you die. The good news is, you die. Hang on, baby, death's coming, I can feel it. It's all right. And listen, it is, life can be tough. This is why you want to do life with someone of character. You single people, this is why you need to find someone of character. Just don't get caught up in how cute they are. All right? Here's a hint. If it looks like a skunk, and it smells like a skunk, and it acts like a skunk, guess what? It's a skunk. I've read the emails you guys send in, you know, oh, he's this great, wonderful, especially when they say man of God. Oh, he's this great man of God, and then list off all these awful things about him. I said, dear, what are you talking about? He's awful. Get away. But, you know, because then you marry him, and then you're sitting there. 3 months later, you're crying to us, and I don't know. You say, well, when did you know he did this? Well, I know he always did this. Think it through. Is this why you want to find someone of character? Don't get caught up in how cute they are, because listen, character will last you a lifetime. Sexy has a shelf life. All right? Just as true. Some of us are getting close to our expiration dates. Like, okay, suck it in. Oh, but life is unexpected. It'll throw stuff at you, okay? And life it's like two kinds of things. It'll throw troubles at you. There's the unexpected problems, and then there's the expected problems. The unexpected are, that's, you know, a sudden illness. You know, you see a death, you lose a job. Something happens that you weren't expecting, right? And something awful happens. You know, that's why you want to be prepared, and you got to understand that stuff. And so those things will hit you. But then you also got to remember, there's also the expected troubles. You know, you got married, and I know, you know, like, for example, see us with some wives, you know, they'll come and they'll say, well, I don't know, my husband did something, and I told him I didn't like it that he did that, but he did it again. What do I do? I said, just tell him again. What do you mean? And they're shocked. I said, no, dear, this is one of the expected problems you're having, right? You're going to have to tell him again and again. You know, it's kind of like, he'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. And you'll say, he'll do something. Stop it! You know, okay, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. And then, he'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. I told you to stop it, I'm sorry. He'll be coming around the mountain, he'll be coming around the mountain, right? It's just going to be what it is. That should be the expected kind, the expected troubles that you understand in your life. It's going to drive you crazy, you know? You see these guys, they come, oh, I don't know, my wife, she drives me crazy. Dude, that's what they do. We love them, but they'll drive you crazy sometimes. What are you freaking out about? You got to learn to deal with that stuff, all right? So you got to be prepared for that. Next one, let's move on. You've got be proactive. Everyone say, be proactive. That means you've got to do life on purpose. Newsflash, people who have great marriages, guess what? Have them on purpose. You mean it's not just about finding that perfect one? Just that one perfect one? That one soulmate? Which, by the way, if you believe in soulmates, it's romantic. You want to say it to make your wife go, oh, that's great, but it is nonsense. You want to know what it comes from? Does anyone know where the concept of soulmates come from? It's like old Greek mythology or something, isn't it? Where it's like these, we used to have four arms and four legs. And then we were ripped apart. And now we're forever looking for that person to make us whole. If you buy into this nonsense, the second that you don't feel quite right, you go, oh, they must not be the one. How do I know they're the one? When you stand there and you say, I do, and they say, I do. That's the one.
Well, that's not romantic.
Well, it can be romantic, but I was like, dear, happily ever after, it's great in the movies, I'll just find the one, we'll never have problems. No. And guess what? When you sing and do chores at the house, little woodland animals aren't also going to come in. Someday my prince will come.
Where are they? I don't see them. That's not real life. You got to do things on purpose. The Bible is very clear. Jesus taught us that we will reap what we sow. So if you are doing bad things in your marriage, guess what you're going to get? Bad results. It's the way that it works. You know, Jesus tells us we will reap what we sow. Well, will he forgive me? Oh, absolutely. But you still might just reap what you sow. You know, people don't want to hear that because we live in this day and age where my life is bad because everyone else's fault. It's someone else's fault. It can't be my fault. It might be. Listen, if your life stinks, guess what? You might be the one that's stinking. Which is another good reason you want to get friends in your life. They act as like mirrors. Right, this morning, you all look so lovely here this morning. All of this is brought to you and sponsored by mirrors. Right? I think it would be hilarious to see how many of you came. Like, if next week, we said, okay, everyone come into church, put on your makeup, do everything, but you can't use a mirror the whole day. That would be a little funnier. Some of you might look like you got shot in the face by a paintball gun or something. You know, you don't know what's going on. Mirrors are great because they show you things you don't see, right? You ever done that before? You ever been walking around confident, this and that, and then realize your fly's been open the whole time? Try public speaking for a living. I've got the check down now, everyone. You do that a couple times and you learn real quick, don't do that again. It's embarrassing. A mirror would have helped me. That's what people are like. They can help you see what it is that's going wrong in there. Like, dude, you got to stop doing this. You got to start doing that. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. This is why these community groups are so good. This is why you can come in and you can meet with your pastor. You say, Pastor, what's going on? My life stinks. What's going on? It's like, well, it's because you're doing stinking things. They can show you what's going on and how to live. All right? So you got to be proactive. Got to do life on purpose. Next one we have is be clear. Everyone say, be clear. Habla inglés. Now, what's interesting is in a relationship, you usually have one spouse who is more emotive than the other spouse. And the one who is more emotive always thinks they're the best communicator. The other spouse probably thinks they're the best communicator because the one who thinks they're the best communicator tells them all the time how much of a better communicator they are. But you want to know who the one who usually is not the best communicator? You. If right now you think, well, I'm obviously the best communicator. Like, I really know how to communicate. Yeah. Because here's what you do. Because you feel things so deeply, you can't possibly imagine how they don't tell. And you think that they'll sense what you're doing. And they'll, you know, you'll sit there and your wife might get mad at her husband. And she'll be like, I'm so mad at you. You are? Yes, I told you. You did? Yeah, remember I went, ugh. He's sitting there thinking, man, I just thought she had gas. I don't know what's going on. But you're convinced you're being so clear. No. If you want something, you need to actually say it out your mouth. But if he loved me, he'd really know. No, and once again, the little woodland animals, Snow White, don't come in when you sing. You got to communicate. Again, we see this. We get this question a lot from the wives. It's usually some version of, hey, Pastor, how do I get my husband to fill in the blank? We'll get a million versions of that. So I'm going to help you guys out. You ladies want to know how to get a man to do something for you? Step one, you need to ask. He can't just tell. No. Oh, fine. Step two, you need to ask more than once. You're like, okay, you had me at that first one. The second one, you lost me. Because a lot of you ladies, I shouldn't have to.
And some of you, you'll just get mad. And some of you, like, we've talked to you before. It's like, I asked my husband 15 years ago to clean up the garage. He still hasn't done it. I asked my husband to pick up the laundry. What's the matter, Pastor? Do men not see laundry? Oh, we see it. It just doesn't mean much to us. For us, it's like central planning, right? Everything's right there. And to ask, well, how many times did you ask him? Well, just once. Why not? Because I shouldn't have to. Guess what? You have to. And then step number three, you need to ask without an attitude. Oh, but dear, can you not pick up the laundry? Are you not physically able? All he's going to do is go, no, I can't. I've tried, but I can't. I'm sorry. My arms don't work. Some of you probably sitting here thinking, no, you know what it is? If my husband was more godly, if he was more of a man of God, then I wouldn't have this problem. Okay. Let's take that theory. Now let's apply it, your relationship with God. If you want something from God, what do you have to do? Ask. And this is even though you know. Jesus told us, man, God knows what you want before you even ask. You still have to ask him, whereas your husband has no clue. No clue. And then Jesus taught us we have to ask more than once. Some people say, well, that proves that God's a man right there. That's just not. Just kidding. Ha ha. Joke. And number three, do you throw an attitude in when God doesn't move to your timetable? No. Patience, have faith. Right? You just keep asking. Amen? All right. So be clear. Next one. Be doers. Everyone say, be doers. I'll make this one short. Basically, thinking and believing all the right things does not mean jack. You might think and believe all the right things, but if you don't do it, it means nothing. And there's two types of people. You know, there's the kind that, and both people don't want to do the right thing. But you've got the ones who they don't want to hear it, because if they hear it, they'll feel guilted into doing it. And you have a tough time getting your spouse to come to church. Why don't I want to come to church? Why don't I want to come to church? Because they don't want to hear it. Because they know if they hear it, they're going to be like, oh, then I have to do it. But then the other one has no problem hearing it, but they still never do it. And you'll give them some advice. You need to love your spouse. And they'll come up afterwards. What do you mean by love? Can we do like a small group study on love? Can we sit together and chat about love for a while? You'll talk about it till you're blue in the face, but you'll never do it. You need to do it. Amen? Back away before you throw something at me. Next two. Next one, not next two. I'm just going to do one at a time. Be patient. Everyone say, be patient. There's good news, ladies. You can eventually get a man where you want him. Because women do improve men. But men do not like being improved. We don't like change. We're men. But every study shows that married men fare better than single guys. If you take the same education, same everything, every stats, the married guys fare better. They're happier, they're healthier, they live longer, make more money, more productive than single men. In fact, the study showed that being a single man is about the equivalent of smoking 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. Which the worst would be if you are a single man who smokes 2.5 packs a day. You're a short life expectancy right there. So women do improve men. Ladies, you can eventually get a man where you want him. Bad news is, by the time you get him there, he dies. It took so long. But you just got to be patient. Marriage is a dance perfected over time. All right? So it's okay. I know, because you ladies, you stand at the altar with that guy, right? And the husband, he looks at his new bride, and he thinks, man, I hope she's perfect the way she is. Hope she never changes. And that wife looks at her husband and thinks, I can't wait to change this guy. right? And you do, but if all of a sudden you're sitting there and it's 2 months later, what's he still the same guy? Well, slow down. This is a marathon, dear, not a sprint. All right? You got to just take a little bit of time, so have some patience. And then finally, the last one we have is be dead. Everyone say, be dead. What's that one about? Well, listen, you cannot possibly read the New Testament and not come away with the idea that God wants to kill you. Not the physical you, but the selfish part of you, right? I mean, goodness, how many times do you hear the New Testament talk about laying down your life, picking up your cross? You know, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, in other words, it gets down in there and it transforms. It stops being what it was. But if it doesn't die, it will just remain a seed. But if it will die and it will transform, well then, man, it will break out of the dirt into the glorious sunshine. But man, if that doesn't describe a lot of people today, married, single, Christian, non-Christian, and they get planted into the ground and they refuse to let go. It does. There's some of you in there that you got planted, you won't let go. You'll come in for counseling. You'll be, Pastor, it's cold. It's dark. I keep breathing in dirt. What do I need to do? Die! What do you mean? You need to die. You're a seed stuck in the ground. You need to die and let go and transform into something else. Because there's a newsflash here. You know, dead people, pretty easy to get along with. They're very nice, dead people. You can say anything and yell, want at them. You could yell at them. They don't do anything. You could be mean to them. They don't care. That's the image you need to have. That's where you want to get to let that selfish part of you die. Because listen, nobody gets everything they want. Nobody does. So many times you get people, they'll ask questions, how do I get such and such in marriage? How do I get this? How do I get that? It's like you're thinking the wrong way. Marriage is not an institution that is built for selfishness. And listen, marriages end for one reason and one reason alone. At some point, one or both of them get selfish. And they stop caring about the other person and they just want what they want. So you can't get through this. You can't get to a successful marriage and remain selfish. God wants you to die to yourself. And listen, there is no more perfectly crafted institution to kill you than marriage. Right? Because you can't do this and be selfish. So if you say you want to hang on to everything, then guess what? You won't get anything. But if you let go, you'll start to receive. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the fact, Lord, that you do love us and you care for us. God, I thank you for all the people here, all these wonderful people listening this morning, so many different stages of life. But Lord, one thing's true. If we want to save our lives, you said that we're going to have to be willing to lose it. And for people this morning that may be here who've never truly become a follower of Christ, maybe just kind of checking things out, God, I pray that you would open their eyes, let them see, and let them know that they need to let go if they're going to experience God. Because when we let go, Lord, that's when life bursts out of us. And we'll start to enjoy the glorious, wonderful sunshine that you want for us, Lord. And so in Jesus' name we pray this, and everyone said, Amen.